Hey, hey, gamers. Welcome to Gaming is for Girls. The podcast is more chaotic than trying to play Mario Kart with your grandma. I'm your host, Mai the Menace, here to bring you the latest gaming news, hot takes, and probably some questionable strategies. So grab a snack, adjust your headsets, and let's get into today's episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Gaming is for Girls. Welcome back to another episode. This is episode, bam, 4. I'm really excited to share this episode with you. This is going to be my first, like, history-based episode where we'll talk about history of a certain genre of video games. So I'm very excited. I had a lot of fun putting this episode together, doing the research and the studying on the history of games for this. And I'm really excited to share what I found with you. So I hope you're excited, because I am. Before we get started, please make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're watching on YouTube. And please make sure that you leave a review on whatever listening platform you're listening to the podcast on, whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any other podcasting service that you're using. Please share this podcast with a fellow gamer so we can grow our community. And before we start, I want to share that our Patreon is live. It is patreon.com/themenaces. Our Patreon members will get bonus episodes of Gaming is for Girls, and they will also get access to the content polls to decide what we talk about in future episodes, and they also get access to the Gaming is for Girls book club discussion board. So I will talk about the book club, the Gaming is for Girls book club, later in the episode, but our Patreon will be down in the description, patreon.com/themenaces. So with that being said, let's jump right into this exciting episode. On this episode of Gaming is for Girls, we're going to be shining a spotlight on a very unique genre of games, visual novels. For my gamer girlies who are familiar with visual novels, I hope you're excited for this episode because I really love visual novels and I'm really excited to talk about them. So visual novels have captivating storylines, memorable characters, and very interactive narratives for the user. Wow, I can't talk today. Probably because I haven't drank my water. It's right here on the table. I'm going to take a sip. So, for the people who are not well-versed on what visual novels are. Okay, I just can't do this today. Man, my body just making noises. The Wikipedia definition of a visual novel is a form of digital interactive fiction. Visual novels combine elements of literature and interactive storytelling where users can make choices that impact the outcome of the game. So now that we know what a visual novel is, let's dive into the history of visual novels, which dates back to 1983 from the game The Portopia Serial Murder Case, which was designed by Yuji Horii and published by Enix. The game was very well received in Japan for its storytelling elements, and in 1988, the game Snatcher arrived to the scene. This game was written and designed by Hideo Kojima and was developed and published by Konami. In 1996, the visual novel Yuno, A Girl Who Chanced Love at the Bound of This World, was released. It was developed and published by Elf Corporation and is their most famous visual novel to this day. This title was a milestone in the visual novel industry because of its automatic diverge mapping system, or ADMS, which allowed the player access to see the direction they were heading along the different plot lines. So essentially, it was letting the player know when a choice made would affect the storyline. According to Nintendo Life, the modern visual novel genre would simply not exist without Yuno. Similar timeline systems appeared later in role-playing games such as Radiant Historia, which came out in 2010, and Tactics Ogre, which also came out in 2010. Outside of Japan, translations of visual novel titles into other languages were rare until the release of the Nintendo DS. titles such as Capcom's Ace Attorney, which was released on Game Boy in 2001 and later on Nintendo DS in 2005, and Level 5's Professor Layton, which came out in 2007, are attributed with the rise of the adventure genre, adventure game visual novel genre. So that was a little history on visual novels. Now we're going to explore different diverse narratives. So I'm going to get into a few of the visual novel series that have sold over 100,000 copies. So these are the best-selling paid visual novels. So starting off with our series, we have the Ace Attorney series, which came out in 2001, as I previously said. So in the Ace Attorney series, you play the role of attorneys, including Phoenix Wright and Maya Fey, as they investigate cases to defend their clients in court. They use testimonies and evidence to find inconsistencies in witnesses' stories to uncover the truth and defend their clients' innocence. I have never played the Ace Attorney series. I know my sister has, and she vouches very heavily for that game series. However, I did recently buy the pack on Steam. I think they were having a sale on the Ace Attorney series, so I bought it. So I do plan on testing it out, seeing what the hype is about, because I have seen the infamous objection meme. So I want to see what all the hype is about. What are we objecting, Ace? So, his name's not Ace, it's Phoenix Wright. Dang it! I already outed myself as a fake fan. Okay, our next series is the Danganronpa series, which came out in 2010. This visual novel follows the twisted school lives of high-performing high school students as they are forced to... The Danganronpa series follows the twisted school lives of high-performing high school students as they are forced to murder each other in order to survive the horrors of the school. I am very well-versed in Danganronpa. I know this sounds contradictory. I have not played any of the Danganronpa games. However, I have watched multiple Danganronpa gameplays, and I really enjoy the series. I think the storytelling is really interesting. The plot twists are plot twisting, and the characters are very diverse. There's a lot of different characters in the Danganronpa series. The memes are hilarious. The dialogue of the characters are also funny, but I really enjoy Danganronpa. I have it on my wish list. I haven't bought it yet. The only thing about the Danganronpa series is it's long. I've watched gameplay of it, and granted, the gameplay has like cuts in it to make the video flow better, but you can just tell that the mini games in the Danganronpa series takes long if you don't know what you're doing or if you mess up. So that's kind of why I'm hesitant to play it, because it just seems like it would eat up a lot of my time, especially if I was like streaming it. I don't think that's a game I would stream, because I feel like the mini games would kind of bog down the fluency of the stream. If I was playing by myself, that's fine. So I do want to play the Danganronpa series because I did enjoy watching the gameplay, and there are also titles that I haven't seen the gameplays for, so I'm really interested to like learn the whole timeline of Danganronpa. Danganronpa also is an anime. I don't know which came first. I can actually search it up real quick. Danganronpa. The Danganronpa animation came out in 2013, and the game came out in 2010. So that means that the animation came out after the game. So the animation was based off the game, which makes sense. I did watch a little bit of the animation, and I did not really like the animation in comparison to the game, because I know I just complained about the game taking its time. But the animation does the exact opposite, where it just kind of cuts from point A to point B. It doesn't... the animation doesn't do a good job of building up the suspense that the game does when you're, like, investigating clues for the murder case and stuff like that. The animation kind of just, like, is like, oh, here are the clues, now let's get to the murder trial. So I do prefer the game over the animation because I know I was just talking shit about how long the game takes, but I think that is, now thinking about it, is pretty integral to building up the suspense and the anticipation for the results of the murder trials in the game. So those are the two series that I have for selling over 100,000 copies. Now we're going to move on to single name titles, like, that don't have a series line. First, we have Doki Doki Literature Club, which came out in 2017. This visual novel follows the point of view of a high school student who joins the school's literature club after the influence of his friend Sayori. The game appears to be a lighthearted dating simulator, as you are able to romance the members of the literature club. But after investing some hours into the gameplay, the player is thrown into a twisted, psychological horror game. Doki Doki Literature Club, I have a very weird relationship with, because as I've said in previous episodes, I don't do horror games, so I will not play this game, and I probably will never, ever play this game in my life. But that being said, I have watched gameplay for the game, so I know how the game goes, but I refuse to play it myself. I am a really big fan of Doki Doki Literature Club, which once again doesn't make sense because I said I don't like horror. I just think, and without, one, going into it too much, and two, spoiling any of the game, it's just so intricate the way that the developers build upon the story and tell the story and have the characters interact with the player is so unique and so creepy. Like, the game is so creepy, which, kudos to Doki Doki, because that game actually scares me to my core, but I am just so invested in the characters of the game and how the game was put together and all the different, like, timelines of the game, or, like, outcomes you can get from the different, like, horror aspects of it. And I honestly will probably do a video all about Doki Doki, which will contain spoilers, so if you see that video come out, just be aware that there will be spoilers in the Doki Doki Gaming is for Girls video. But I really like this game a lot, that I really do want to dedicate a video, like an episode, to Doki Doki alone, just to go into all the, like, Easter eggs and all the outcomes and just how deep the characters are. And I can't really unpack what I'm saying about this without going into the game too much. Like, if you're interested in playing it, I will leave it there so you can experience Doki Doki on your own, because I think it's a fantastic game. So yeah, look out for the Doki Doki think piece on Gaming is for Girls, because I really enjoy that game and I would really like to, dive more into it. Next on the list, we have Monster Prom, which came out in 2018. Monster Prom is a dating simulation game based in a high school for monsters. The premise of the game is to romance classmates of your choosing, with the end goal of asking them to the school prom. And Monster Prom also has an LGBTQ+ cast, which is fantastic. I played Monster Prom. Monster Prom has a lot of different titles, so I would consider this a series, but I think Monster Prom alone has sold over 100,000 copies. I hope I'm not talking on my ass, but Monster Prom does have different titles. I have played some of the titles. I've played the original Monster Prom. I've also played Monster Prom Road Trip. And there's a Monster Prom 2, I think, but I don't think I played that one. I really like Monster Prom. I think it's such a funny game. It's definitely an adult game because their commentary, they be cussing. They be saying, they be making like sexual innuendos and stuff like that. So it's definitely not a child's game. But I really like Monster Prom. It's very entertaining. It has great replayability. Like the gameplay itself is pretty short. I think you can play like a shorter version or the longer version. I think the longer version takes like an hour, I'm pretty sure. And I'm pretty sure the shorter version takes like 30 minutes. But like by the end of that session, you like either succeed in the game or you lose, and then you could just play it again with like different choices and stuff like that. So there's a lot of different endings to Monster Prom. It's very replayable. And then Monster Prom also has its other titles, which have different premises. So like the premise of Monster Prom is to get a date to prom. The premise of Monster Prom Road Trip is essentially, okay, so Monster Prom Road Trip I've played, but I've never won. I've played it multiple times and I haven't won because I keep like running out of gas or something like that. So I don't know what the end goal of Monster Prom Road Trip is. I guess it's to finish the road trip, but I never finish the road trip because I run out of materials, based on like my decisions and actions and stuff like that. But both games are very fun. You can play multiplayer. I think it's both online and local multiplayer. But it's fun with another person because they also get to make choices in the game that will affect the game's outcome. And it's also great that they have an LGBTQ plus cast for that diversity and representation, which is fantastic. So that's all I have for the best-selling visual novels. And now I want to talk about some visual novels that I particularly play and enjoy that did not come up in my research. The first one I want to talk about is Coffee Talk, which came out in 2020. Coffee Talk follows a barista who works their own cafe in a fantasy version of Seattle. Their patrons consist of a variety of creatures, including humans, ogres, elves, and orcs, and many more. Those are just a few of the creatures. The focal point of the game is taking customer orders while you listen to them share their life stories. And Coffee Talk also has an LGBTQ plus cast. I really like the game Coffee Talk. I have not finished the game. I'm in the process of playing it right now, and I'm pretty sure I'm not even halfway through it. If I had to take a guess, I'm probably like 30, 40% done the game. But I really enjoy Coffee Talk. I play it on PC. I play it modded, because the modded version has the characters talk for themselves, like they're audible. Yeah, they audibly talk to you. In the regular Coffee Talk game, the unmodded game, you just have to read their lines. But in the modded version, they actually talk to you. And I really like Coffee Talk because the storylines in the game are very, very well thought out. Like they have like real life problems where like you're listening to their problems and stuff and you're like, wow, you should probably talk to a therapist and not your local barista. But it's a really fun game to do commentary on because the problems and some of the characters' like personality traits are just so bonkers that you have a lot to say about the characters. It's really entertaining. It's really hard to get bored of the game because there's just so much going on with each of the characters' lives. You get to learn so much about each of the characters, and there's a really large cast. I've played hours worth of Coffee Talk, and I haven't even met everyone in the game yet. So this is actually making me want to go play the game. So there's Coffee Talk, and then the Coffee Talk sequel came out really recently. I think that came out 2023, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see. Coffee Talk Episode 2, Hibiscus. Oh, it's Hibiscus, right? Hibiscus and Butterfly came out in 2023. Yeah. I think that's, hold on. Yep, 2023. So that came out really recently. And I haven't finished the original game, so I have not started the second game yet. But I'm very excited too. I actually already bought the second game. I bought the second game without having finished the first one. That's how excited I am about finishing Coffee Talk and continuing the gameplay. Coffee Talk is definitely a cozy game. It's really low stress. I would argue there's no stress at all. You're really just making coffee orders and then talking to the patrons. Because I wouldn't say that visual novels themselves are cozy games, because you can, like, Doki Doki is not a cozy game. The game is terrifying. So Coffee Talk is a cozy game. And once again, it has a lot of representation with its LGBTQ plus cast. The next game I want to talk about is Purgatory with two R's, which came out in 2021. This game follows the main character who just found themselves in Purgatory with a cast of animals who have also passed on to the afterlife. You interact with the animals to get to know their stories before Purgatory and to achieve one of the multiple story endings. This game also has an LGBTQ plus cast. I found Purgatory on Steam just by happenstance. I like to go on Steam and just see what they have in the different categories, like the romance or the visual novels or the free games. I'm pretty sure Purgatory is free. And I came across Purgatory. It's a really simplistic looking game. Like, I described it in one of my videos as looking like it was drawn in Microsoft Paint, which it seems like a diss, but it really isn't. If you look at the art style, it looks like it was drawn on a piece of paper, which I think adds to the characteristics of the game. Like, the game is, and I haven't finished it, so I can't talk extensively about Purgatory, but I've put in a few hours into the game. I really enjoy it. It's very, as of right now, it's pretty lighthearted. Granted, I haven't learned about everyone's stories, and it seems like some of the stories are, they do hint at being a little deep. But I haven't built up enough rapport with the characters to learn fully about what they've gone through. But as of where I am in the game right now, the game is very, very cute. The drawing style is so cute. The characters are really cute. They're all different animals. And the things they talk about are so funny. Like, I won't go into depth about it if you want to play the game, but some of them just, like, crack jokes and stuff like that. Some of them are really shy. And it's just a really cute game to get to know all the characters and stuff like that. I would definitely categorize Purgatory as a cozy game. It's very low stress, low tension. And I really enjoy playing it. I am excited to see what ending I get and how the story unpacks. Then the last game I have to talk about is Dream Daddy, which came out in 2017. Dream Daddy is a dating simulator that follows your character, a single dad, and his teenage daughter, Amanda, as they move to a new town and meet the town locals. The locals include seven single fathers who are all romanceable characters in the game. And Dream Daddy is also an LGBTQ plus cast game. I've played Dream Daddy a total of one time. I haven't finished it because I played it once, but it is funny. It's a funny game from what I've seen so far. The only thing, and this is really just a streamer problem that I have with it, is that the characters don't talk for themselves, and the characters, oh my god, they like to talk, boy. They be talking. By the time I finished my stream, I was parched. Parched as hell. It was so much reading. But, like, if you're not streaming the game, then this really isn't an issue because you're not reading out loud. I really enjoy playing Dream Daddy. It's a really unique game. Like, it's a really unique premise. You're a single dad with this daughter, and you meet these other single dads, and you also meet their, I believe they, no, they all have children, but they're not all daughters. So you learn about these fathers and their families, and sorry, I have, my nose is, like, stuffed, and I can feel it in my chest. So sorry about that, but I could not finish talking. So you have these different fathers with these families, these children, and you get to learn their stories and where they've come and how they ended up in this town. It's a really funny game because I feel like I can't talk about these games, like what I like about these games, without giving up like parts of the gameplay. But it's a humorous game, the way that the characters interact with each other. And it seems like it also touches upon some important like life experiences, because you can tell that the main character that you're playing is pretty lonely and is dealing with, I think their partner passed away. I think that's what happened. So they're grieving, and you can see that in how they like carry themselves throughout the game. So it does touch upon really important and deep topics, but it does so in a humorous and lighthearted way. And once again, they have the representation with the the LGBTQ plus cast. So to wrap up our segment on visual novels, I'm going to talk about where I find my visual novels and where you can find them to play them. And also about the impact they have on the gaming culture. So the world of visual novels continues to evolve and allows unique aspects to gaming, whether the game is from an established studio or an indie developer. There are websites such as itch.io, which I'll touch on later, which provide a platform for smaller developers to dip their feet into the world of game development and also allow these developers to share their works with the public. Visual novels allow game developers to tell elaborate stories with original characters and creative backgrounds. So the places that I used to find my visual novels is Steam and itch.io. These are not the only platforms that you can use to find visual novels and to download them and play them. There's also Epic Games. I did look at Epic Games really briefly to see if they had visual novels, and they had like a handful. Like, they didn't have a lot, but you can find some on Epic Games. I mainly use Steam, which, if you don't know, Steam holds a pretty like hefty monopoly on the gaming storefronts. There's more gaming storefronts that you can use, but I think Steam is the main one, the head honcho. There's a multitude of visual novel titles that range from indie developers to established titles. So I mainly use Steam. However, I recently came across itch.io, I believe last year. And itch.io is a gaming storefront that caters to indie developers. It allows a place for smaller developers to practice game creation and a chance to sell their titles. Because itch.io focuses on giving indie developers a platform, there are a lot of different titles to explore and choose from. I actually took a peek, and there's over 20,000 titles in their visual novel section alone. So there's definitely something for everyone. I have not played a game from itch.io yet. I have looked at their titles, and a lot of them look really interesting. At the time that I looked, I really did not have money to afford anything from itch.io, because I would have went on a shopping spree and maxed out my card. So now that I can afford to play some games, I do want to go back to itch.io and see what they have and like what looks interesting, and what I can feature on my channel. The only thing is that right now my backlog is so packed, and I don't want to say like I'm not going to buy anything because of my backlog, because realistically, when has that stopped me? So I will go back to itch.io and take a browse around. And like I said, the 20,000 titles is just in the visual novel section alone. They have different genres on itch.io from indie developers. I cannot even begin to guess how many titles are on that website. But it's really exciting to think about just how many different games there are to explore and try out, especially like new ones or like lesser known ones from smaller developers, that's like really exciting to think about. So I don't know when I'm gonna do it, but I definitely am gonna download some games from itch.io, and I'm definitely gonna give them a spotlight on the gaming channel and also the Gaming is for Girls channel, so I can talk about my experience with these games. So now that we're done about visual novels, speaking of novels, now we're going back to the Gaming is for Girls book club, which I said I would talk about later, which is now. So something I want to do on this channel is a book club, the Gaming is for Girls book club. And my vision for the book club is to talk about different books that we read that revolve around video games and video game history and game creation. I want to do book reviews on the channel where I talk about the books in depth and get your feedback on what you thought of the book if you're reading along. Yeah, I already looked at some titles that I would be interested in featuring on the podcast, and I actually already picked our first book. Let me pull it up real quick. The first book that we'll be reading for the Gaming is for Girls book club is called Gamer Girls: 25 Women Who Built the Video Game Industry. It's by Mary Kenny and Selene Pereira. So I got the Kindle version. It's $10 on Kindle. It's $13 physical copy, which isn't bad at all. But I just prefer to have it on Kindle because my book collection, as you can see, is building and I can't really find more space to put my books. So I should start utilizing the Kindle app. But what's also cool about the Gaming is for Girls book club is that Patreon members will have access to the book discussion forums. So you will be able to see in real time the discussions that are going on about the book, how far people have gotten in the book, where I am in the book. We can talk about the book as we go on. And your discussions will probably be included in the book review episodes of that book when it's finished. In addition to being able to use the discussion forums, the Patreon will also be able to give book suggestions for our to be read list for the book club. So I really want to give an interactive platform for reading video game books for the community, and I think this will be a really fun idea and premise. I have a whole list of books already that I really want to get into. I already have an idea of the next book we're going to read after Gamer Girls, excuse me. And I'm just so excited because I love games, I love reading, I love discussions. So I think this will be a great opportunity for everyone involved. That's pretty much all I had for this episode. This does look like it's going to be a shorter episode, because I really like sped through everything. But thank you so much for watching. As I said before, our Patreon is live at patreon.com/themenaces for extra bonus episodes, access to the polls for our future content, access to the Gaming is for Girls book club discussions. In the future, we will have merch. I don't have merch now, I'm working on it. But the Patreon will have early access to the merch. Also, before we go, please follow us on socials on Instagram at Gaming is for Girls, and my Instagram is Menace Maya. Also on X, it's Gaming is for, number four, Girls. Please leave a review of the podcast on whatever platform you're listening on, and I will see you in the next episode. Thank you again for watching. Bye, guys. That's all for today's episode. Thank you for joining me, and be sure to subscribe or follow my podcast on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss a menacing moment. Be sure to leave a review of the podcast and also hit us up on Instagram and Twitter at Gaming is for Girls. It's a big help and it means oh so much to me. Thanks again, and remember, gaming is for everyone, especially the girls. Bye, guys.